Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, any of those good things. We'd be glad to hear from you. Just join the conversation. Saying once again, welcome to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That is Holiness Bibles, plural, for theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you again for another day, Lord Jesus. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for each and every person listening to the program again tonight. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to touch each and every one of those people listening tonight. Especially, we ask you to touch that soul who is nearest hell. We ask you to help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children out there, Lord Jesus, no matter where they may be or where they may be at, Lord Jesus, we ask you the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus. First off, for the family and friends, Lord Jesus, who have lost someone due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them and comfort them with your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then for those going through COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for these dirty, rotten situations that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Six Eyes Radio Network here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you again once more by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, Holiness, Bibles, plural, for theblind.org. Now for a few reminders, first of all, for those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, just press the number one, join the conversation, we'll be glad to hear from you. We'd love to hear your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things, because we'd love you to join the conversation and hear from you. Amen. And also, as a reminder, Six Eyes Department of Transportation prohibits smoking and drinking of alcoholic beverages on board, on the Six Eyes coach, or in the restroom, which is in the rear of the coach. Please do not go into the restroom and set off the smoke detector. That includes cigarettes, pipes, crack, marijuana. Don't light or drink it on the Six Eyes coach. However, if you choose to do so anyway, then you choose to make travel arrangements with the Six Eyes Troopers Association on the outside of this coach, because you will not continue to ride on this coach. There is a restroom located at the right rear for your convenience. Use caution going to and from. Hold on to the seat backs or overhead racks for your safety. Accompany any small children and lock the door so you don't get any unexpected guests. Be sure to pick up your baggage at your next connection point. For all you entertainment lovers, please keep the volume down low or turned off and mute yourself when you're not speaking so you don't disturb myself or other passengers around you. Thank you for riding with Six Eyes. So, we'll get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here on the Wednesday Night Bible Study, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org, here on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And Sister Ruth, who do we have on the old gospel bus as we get ready to pull out of the station tonight?
Well, we got God the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, you and me.
Well, well, well. All right. What kind of prayer request do we have tonight?
Not me for Sister Emily. It's unspoken.
Okay. Any for yourself?
Just got a little itches tonight, but that's nothing serious.
All right. Well, we do want to remember the situation over in Israel. Of course,
yes.
All our country's leaders, they need to seek after God, for
yes.
sure.
Yes.
Not after man. Our military, of course, all
yes.
our first responders, police, fire, ambulance, all of our medical workers, no matter what part of medical work they work in, doctor, nurses, physical therapists, what have you. Be praying for all of the sick and shut-in, no matter whether they be in hospitals, nursing homes, at home, wherever. All are lost in general, especially that soul who is nearest hell, that they'd come to Christ and reel up the white flag surrender. We want to pray for, of course, all the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network here. Pray for the needs of the Six Eyes Radio Network and keep, of course, the bus for the Holiness Bibles for the Blind ministry in prayer, and all the needs for Holiness Bibles for the Blind, and of course that be it, and that we be used tonight, throughout tonight, with the messages, that something be said or done that would touch that heart who is nearest hell. Amen. All right, well, Sister Ruth, you want to give us an opening prayer, and then we'll get into the show tonight.
We want to praise your name tonight and be with all the prayer requests that were mentioned. We're concerned quite a bit about Emily, but Lord, you can take care of her. Be with all the other people out on those under countries that need you too. So we just want everybody to enjoy the show tonight, and we want to serve you always, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And of course, we always have some great gospel music for you lined up. And then, as we get into the show tonight, we have a great message from our sermon archives from Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Obviously, Holiness Bibles for the Blind.org. Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org. You click, after you got that in your browser, you clicked enter, and our webpage comes up there. You click sermons. This time, after you click sermons, you're wanting to click holiness, H-O-L-I-N-E-S-S. That's the category you want to click. And under that category, you'll want to click the message, a godly example. Yes, a godly example. This is a tag team message, believe it or not, that was between me and a lady preacher, evangelist Adele Jacko, which I think you'll enjoy tonight. It's called A Godly Example, so you'll want to pay attention to that. If you wish to get a copy, like I said, you click sermons, then you click holiness, then go down that list to where you see A Godly Example. Click on that. You'll get all the details on that page.
and a link right there to download your own copy of the message. And, of course, if you wish to give a love gift, there is a separate link right there where you could give a love offering. Remember, it is totally separate from the download and does not cost you for the download, totally free. Yes, in this world, there is something for nothing, but you can give a love offering totally separate if you wish to do so, and we would appreciate that at Holiness Bibles for the Blind. When you click on that, it will take you to our secure PayPal page where you could give your love gift. All you got to do is on there, you'll be able to use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation. Also, you could send any check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Make that payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, make any check or money order payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Send to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471. Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 05. And once again, like I said, all love offerings are greatly appreciated, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Now, you wish to make any of those love gifts toward the bus that we're trying to raise money for on your PayPal love gift, when you click the link, all you got to do where it says, what is this offering for? You just type in the word bus. And on your check or money order where it has that little memo line, just write the word bus. And we would appreciate that. That way we will make sure the funds go toward that. And we will keep you abreast as to where we stand on that. So let us get in after we get done with the message tonight on a godly example. Of course, Tim tonight will be trying for, with the song and poem, will he make it 14 for 15? Because he is right now 13 for 14. Will he make it 14 for 15? Or will he still be at 13 for 15? We'll find out tonight. Then, of course, Ruth gets into her Bible prophecy. And where are you taking us, Ruth?
Hold on a sec.
Caught you without your coffee.
I think I need some. Okay. The Holy City.
Ooh, the Holy City sounds very good. So you'll want to stick around for that. And then, of course, after that, we will have some open mic time for anybody who comes in late and wishes to give their prayer requests, prayer praises, or any questions or comments on the messages that we give tonight. So let us get into our program, and here we go. Let's boogie for Jesus.
We just finished our dinner, and I'd gone in the den and turned on the TV. When she walked in and kissed me on the cheek like a million times before. And she said, honey, I know it's late, but if you don't mind, my shopping's gotten a little behind. So I think I'll drive downtown to the grocery store. Well, I didn't look up, just nodded okay and asked her to hand me an ashtray. And when she did, I reached over and squeezed her hand, and then she left. And I shuddered a minute at the thought of my world without her in it. And I reassuringly sought the touch of my wedding band. Well, I must have been dozing, cause I didn't hear the door, and I thought, now that's strange, I'd never done that before. But I looked up, and she was standing by my chair. Kind of snuck in on me, I said. And she smiled and nodded her head. And I told her that she looked just like an angel standing there. For a long moment, she didn't say a thing. And then she caressed her gold wedding ring. and I thought I saw a teardrop in her eye. Honey, you'll never know how much I love you, she said. And I thought of the many years that we'd been wed, as I told her that no one could be as happy as I. And then the strangest feeling filled the room. Not one of happiness, but one of gloom. And for the first time in my life, I saw sadness in her face. I reached out to touch her and she drew away. And she told me again that ours was a love that time could never erase. And then I thought I heard a thousand voices singing. But I realized it was the telephone ringing. And that's when I saw the halo surround their pretty golden hair. I turned trembling to the receiver and heard a cold voice say that there'd been a wreck out on the highway. And I knew that when I looked back, she wouldn't be there because it was an angel's way of saying our last goodbye.
This ship
don't sail this way anymore. No use in standing round. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light from that old lighthouse that stands there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is the lighthouse. And from the rocks of sin, He has shown a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him, for Jesus is the lighthouse. And from the rocks of sin, He has shown a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? For He has shown a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
This world took their baby with them. What a sad little girl. Her daddy drank all day and mommy did drugs. Never wanted to play or give kisses and hugs. She'd watch the TV and sit there on the couch while her mom fell asleep and her daddy went out. Thank you.
Contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. There are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Now it is time for the Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40.
And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me.
So, what have you done to the least of Christ's brethren? Who are his brethren? They, Jesus said, in his word, they that do the will of my Father which is in heaven is the same my brother, my sister, my mother, etc. These are his brethren. So, what you've done to them, when you give them a glass of water, when you give them something to eat, when you visit them in prison or in the hospital, nursing home, etc., how you treat them is how you treat Christ. You're not doing it to them. Remember, you're doing it ultimately to Christ. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Matthew 25 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40. Amen.
None of the ransom ever knew. I've got something kind of special I'd like to say to all you soul winners out there who might be listening right now. Also, a soul winner's prayer I'd like to pass along to you because I think it's kind of special too. But first, now there's a few things I've been wanting to say to you guys for a long time, and I think right now is a good time to do it. Like, did you know that me and just about everyone in gospel music who travels a lot have nothing but the highest respect for you, the soul winners? Because it's a fact that some of the best Christians are soul winners. The most soul-minded, the most courteous, and the first to stop and tell the story of Jesus. And little things like warning people about hell. So you just got to be good people, like some I've had the pleasure of meeting. Down-to-earth, hard-working family men, and a lot of you like our gospel music. That makes you okay in my book. Sounds like I'm blowing smoke, don't it? But I'm not. Because it boils down to this. If every Christian would be a soul winner like you guys are, there'd be a lot less people burning in hell than there is now. So soul winner, buddy, you're appreciated more than you'll ever know. And we salute you. Now this soul winner's prayer was given to me by a minister in Ashtabula, Ohio. He found it at the blind school in Columbus, Ohio, where he attended. Now this prayer means a lot to him, and I think it will you too. So if you will, give a listen and see if it isn't your prayer too. Dear God above, bless this soul life rise and help me bring it alive. Be my mortal sight this day on streets where sinful souls play. Bless my pastor fast asleep when the night is long and deep. And keep our church safe and sound through the hours, big and round. Make our judgment sound as steel and be our hearts so we can feel. Bless the souls going past and teach them not to live so fast. Give me strength for every trip so I may care for what I ship. And make me mindful every day that Jesus Christ, well, he is the way. Amen.
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind. Our primary outreach goal is to the edification of the saved, reaching out to the lost, and helping those in distress, and the education of Christ's body as to the abilities, needs, and rights of those who are visually inconvenienced, and the special talents they can bring to God's church. God has challenged us to meet this goal in many ways. First off, with our appropriate outreach materials for the sighted and blind alike, such as large print, Braille and audio Bibles, tracts, and more. Then secondly, our sermons library, which is over 200 titles strong and growing. Topics range from loving the brethren, the false doctrines of the cults. You'll surely find food for your soul by checking out the entire set we have to offer. All sermons are totally free for the asking, as the Lord provides. Request one or as many as you want. Thirdly, our resources department of our ministry helps to answer the question, what is out there? By getting help finding training for blind children and adults, finding a summer camp or a handy gift idea for that blind friend or loved one. Finally, don't stay on earth without them. Find out more about the Ashtabula Angels and how these messengers of mercy are a part of the ministry. Get a copy of their albums or book them before they fly away. You can find out more about Holiness Bibles for the Blind by visiting our website at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, 4, F-O-R, theblind.org. Again, Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Or you could call us at 1-440-789-9411. Again, 1-440-789-9411. You can also email us at holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. Again, that's holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, dot Bibles, plural, dot for, F-O-R, dot the, dot blind, at gmail.com. And finally, if you wish to give a love gift to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, go to paypal.com and enter the email address 2for1katie@gmail.com. That's digit number 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. Again, digit 2, F-O-R, digit number 1, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com. After you've entered the email address, then all you got to do is enter the amount of your love gift, and no matter how big or small, Holiness Bibles for the Blind thanks you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Amen. And now it is time for Timothy Gruber and his Hebrew word of the week. Amen.
Hebrew word for this week is Yeshua, word for salvation, and also the way you say the name Jesus. Isaiah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 declare, "Behold, God is my Yeshua, salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation, Yeshua. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation, Yeshua." The Lord Jesus, Jehovah, saves. Jehovah, Jehovah, Jesus eternal, having obtained victory against hell. Again, that's Jehovah, Jesus eternal, having obtained victory against hell. And the word Yeshua, salvation, also the way you say Jesus. "Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation, Yeshua." And then John, chapter 4, Yeshua, salvation himself, declared that he himself was and is the living water. Of him if a man partake, indeed he shall never thirst. And in another context, in the Gospel of John, the same salvation, the same Yeshua declares, that those who believe on him, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. So come and draw water out of the wells of salvation, Yeshua, today by faith in Yeshua, salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jehovah God, manifest in the flesh, for he indeed is and will be your strength. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ, Yeshua, died for the ungodly.
And that was our Hebrew word of the week by Timothy Gruber, and we say God bless. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X. E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Lost their lives. It was sad when that great ship went down. big ship, they said what they could do. They said that they would build a ship that water could not go through. God with power in his hand showed the world it could not stand. It was sad when that great ship went down. It was sad.
But Stand, why yet delay? Oh, wish shall joyful be when from sin and sorrow free. Lord, we shall live with thee, live with pray.
I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. The category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too cool for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she'd just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral, it was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guessed I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody, wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up, and my grandparents are so racked with grief they can barely walk, and my brother and sister are like zombies walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Okay, that's fair.
All right.
Good enough. Get up there, Judy. Mark 30 at 12:30.
And thou shalt love the Lord, thou God, with all thy heart. Thy heart?
With all thy heart.
And with all thy soul. And with all thy mind. All thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.
Ruthie?
Okay, and the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and there's none other commandment greater than these.
Yep, my. What it is the Lord's wanting me to sort of to add on, buddy up with Adele's old sermon. All right. Why don't you just take us to the throne, Adele?
Now let her pray for us. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We're glad to be in your presence, Heavenly Father. We worship you above all, Father. We don't want to get in these strange doctrines. We want to put you first and put the love of God in our hearts that it may reach out to other people, Heavenly Father. We pray for those who believe differently, but mostly that people will believe your word and quit twisting it, you know, because there's a faith that they're not going to like the twisting your holy word. So, Lord, turn the creature loose to do whatever that you see fit, Father. We're calling on you right now, Father, for your holy presence just to dominate this place. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Yep, Ma. And if you don't like the preaching tonight, take it up with Jesus. Because this ain't mine, honey. As Ruth will tell you, there ain't no outline up on the pulpit at all. This is all Holy Ghost tonight. And if you don't like what I feed you, take it up with God. He's probably been waiting to talk to you for a long time. That goes for whether you don't like my accent. That goes whether you don't like the way I can't see too good. The scripture teaches something here tonight. And I think already God gave me a title, so I don't have to worry about Adele having a title for this message, because Holy Ghost already gave it one. A godly example. A godly example. I'm not talking about some hypocrite cult who says they got Jesus, ain't got nothing. I already started. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let me tell you something. You ain't got nothing if you ain't loving God the way he said to do it. Glory to God, Jesus. Let me tell you. He said the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord God himself. That's first. With all your heart. That means every bit of it. You don't hold none of it back because you want your sin. You, honey, you give it all to Jesus. All that sin and wickedness, you give it all to him. Every bit of it. All your heart. All of it. But they don't want to give all. That word all is a cuss word to them, and it's only three letters, honey. But they don't want to give all. They just want to give some, that cuss word, you know. They want to give some, but not all. Let me tell you something. He said all, and I don't want them twisting the book, and I'm not going to twist the book for you, honey. Honey, the Bible says all. And God didn't stutter when he wrote it. And he wasn't talking Southern or Northern or Yankee or whatever you call it, you reprobate, you cult. He was talking to y'all. And he says, you give all, y'all. Give it all. Every bit of it. I don't care if you don't like my skin color or my inconvenience, honey. You got to love me anyway. Ruth, you want to read this real quick before I get going too far? No, that's coming, but I want you to read this here. Yeah, the letter. Just the poem portion of it. Just the poem portion, no, the story portion of it. You don't have to read the devotional. Just the. Yeah, that's all.
Okay, the letter. Ruth went to her mailbox. Let's not talk about me. Okay, and there was only one letter. She picked it up and looked at it before opening. But then she looked at the envelope again. There was no stamp, no postmark, only her name and address. She read the letter. Dear Ruth, I'm going to be in your neighborhood Saturday afternoon. I'd like to stop by for a visit. Love, always, Jesus.
Her hands were shaking as she placed the letter on the table. Why would the Lord want to visit me? I'm nobody special. I don't have anything to offer. With that thought, Ruth remembered her empty kitchen cabinet. Oh, my goodness, I really don't have anything to offer. I'll have to run down to the store and buy something for dinner. She reached for her purse and counted out its contents, $5.40. Well, I can get some bread and cold cuts at least. She threw on a coat and hurried out the door. A loaf of French bread, a half pound of sliced turkey, and a carton of milk, leaving Ruth with a grand total of 12 cents to last her until Monday. Nonetheless, she felt good as she headed home, her meager offerings tucked under her arm. Hey, lady, can you help us, lady? Ruth had been so absorbed in her dinner plans, she hadn't even noticed two figures huddled in the alleyway, a man and a woman, both of them dressed in little more than thin rags. Look, lady, I ain't got a job, you know, and my wife and I have been living out here on the street, and, well, now I've been getting cold, and we're getting kind of hungry, and, well, if you could just help us, lady, we'd really appreciate it. Ruth looked at them both. They were dirty. They smelled bad. And, frankly, she was certain that they could get some kind of work if they really wanted to. Sure, I'd like to help you, but I'm a poor woman myself. All I have is a few cold cuts and some bread, and I'm having an important guest for dinner tonight, and I was planning on serving that to him. Yeah, well, okay, lady, I understand. Thanks anyway. Man put his arm around the woman's shoulder, turned and headed back into the alley. As she watched them leave, Ruth felt a familiar twinge in her heart. Sure, wait. The couple stopped and turned as she ran down the alley after them. Look, why don't you take this food? I'll figure out something else to serve my guests. She handed the man her grocery bag. Thank you, lady. Thank you very much. Yes, thank you. It was a man's wife, and Ruth could see now that she was shivering. You know, I've got another coat at home. Here, why don't you take this one? Ruth unbuttoned her jacket and slipped it over the woman's shoulders. Then, smiling, she turned and walked back to the street without her coat and with nothing to serve her guests. Thank you, lady. Thank you very much. Ruth was chilled by the time she reached her front door and worried, too. The Lord was coming to visit, and she didn't have anything to offer him. She fumbled through her purse for the door key. But as she did, she noticed another envelope in her mailbox. That's odd. A mailman doesn't usually come twice in one day. She took the envelope out of the box and opened it. Dear Ruth, it was so good to see you again. Thank you for the lovely meal. And thank you, too, for the beautiful coat. Love always, Jesus.
I like that. It's nice, though.
You know, let's see. Let's go a little deeper. It ain't so much of Jesus would have came to her house in the form of those two people. What if Jesus would have came to her house totally? Would she been, like the song says, hiding away the magazines and all? Huh? But the fact is, she did her best. Let's see, there goes one further. There are brothers and sisters in the church, and the church has bought themselves a lie, thinking, well, helping though as you do unto others, out of Matthew 25, they think it has to do with the whole world. And Eric believes that to almost he's ready to kill himself for it. Bad news for you. The fact is, he said, these my brethren. And then one time, Jesus asked the question, who are my mother and brethren? He looked over toward his disciples and looked toward the crowd and said, he that does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. Soul. Why did he bring that one up? If the grave is hell. But see, God says, love the Lord. Jesus is God, and I don't care what the cults teach. He says, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. That means, you know, they teach that hell stuff that it ain't real. Well, why would Jesus preach twice as much on hell as he did heaven if it wasn't a real, literal place? Well, God wouldn't want, if he commanded in the Old Testament not to burn babies and children to Moloch in that place called Gehenna, Why would he want to send his own people that disobey him to hell? Well, buddy, you just don't know Jesus well enough, do you? You just want to keep in your own sin, whatever it is, honey, that you're into. You just want your sin more than Jesus. But you're supposed to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Ooh, now we're really getting deep. Not only just enough for your soul, but you got to keep this mind. Remember that song, If Jesus Come to Your House? What are you feeding your mind with? You got the pornography magazines laying out there instead of a Bible? Huh? You got the Bible. Yeah, it's right, it's a Bible. Get the Bible out on the table, boys. And that's why you won't get it straight away from God's Word. Then there's those that have put out that Alabama and all the rest of them crews, and half of them talk about drinking and smoking and all the rest of it rather than talking about Jesus. Yeah, there's some good secular songs, but there's far and few in between. Even the truck driving music I used to listen to, you had to rethink it. From talking about breaking the law and speeding and doing everything that was illegal. No, the truth is you got to be for Jesus 100% or the devil 100%. You can't be on the fence post, cult. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The question was once asked in a sermon long ago called God First, have you loved him till you're W-E-A-K, weak? Not 7 days weak. We're talking about weak without strength. Y'all think I forget sermons, honey. It ain't that I had to hear them four times dubbing it. It's, honey, I got news for you. I listen to the truth. Were you ever weak serving the Lord? I mean, would you zap to your strength? I know what it's like on some Sundays, get home after done here, come home, I'm ready to zonk right there. I mean, snow shoveling's nothing compared to this. We're talking real, because there's a spiritual battle going on while you're up there with the Holy Ghost and the devil's trying to stop every bit of it. You seen that just a few minutes ago. Dumb old tape didn't want to work. I had to go over there and give it a whack in the Holy Ghost. Here, you take this, buddy. And it did. It worked. So I'm happy. And thank you, Lord, for helping me out. All right. But anyway, we got a free will. He said you should do it. And you must do it, but the fact is you got that free will. If you choose to go on to the devil, honey, you're going to have to go on your own. And then it says, the second commandment is just like it. Why? Because they buddy up together, just like what we're going to do tonight. It's what the Holy Ghost wanted done tonight. We're buddying up again. It's called a tag team sermon. It's where two preachers buddy up and they preach a sermon that God gives them. They may be the same, and usually they are. They tie right in one another. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. Honey, let me tell you something. You're not loving your neighbor slinking up on him. You ain't loving your neighbor writing nasty letters. You ain't loving your neighbor treating him like a slave. You ain't loving your neighbor talk good to his face and talk evil behind his back. You ain't loving your neighbor when you don't like his smell. You ain't loving your neighbor when you don't like his accent. Well, honey, I don't care what you think. I'm going to talk any way I will please. I'm just going to serve Jesus anyhow. Let me put it this way. God didn't just create Yankees with a certain skin color, honey. Let me tell you something. You want to know something? You're going to have to be honorary Southerner up there, so you might as well warm up down here. Have to warm up down here, y'all. Let me tell you, I'm just sick of these folks. They say they love Jesus, but they don't have the evidence by their fruits. Ye shall know them. Hello? And by the fruits, you're going to know what kind of rotten reprobate they really are. One minute they're talking, oh, I love Jesus, and I'm not going to get married because I'm married up to Jesus. Yeah, right, but the next minute you're over there trying to con somebody, give them the hardest job to do that you wouldn't yourself do for the price you pay them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll slave you into labor. I'll give you this. And you know, if Jesus had done the work for them and they gave him that much, Jesus would look at him and say, is that all you love me? You know, they ought to think about that one. If Jesus done the work for him, well, you know what? I hate to tell him. If a child of God was the one who did the work for you and you treated him like a slave and gave him only but pennies on the dollar and you didn't even pay him but $1.50 an hour, let me tell you something. You did it to Jesus and you're going to have to answer for it. Hello. Because he says, you're supposed to love me. Love me with all your heart. Where's your heart? In your wallet? Is that where your heart is? Stuck inside of a wallet with your billfold in there? Inside that purse? The love of that money. When you're loving that money more than Jesus, that's the root of all evil. It ain't the money that's evil, because money's neither evil nor good. It's whether you love it. It's where your heart is. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. You're going to love one or hate the other. You're going to cleave to one or despise the other. You can't serve God in money. I got news for Esther Holiday. You can preach all the money messages you want. You want the benefits of the Lord, Deanna Hughes. There's only one way you're going to get them, is if you're serving Jesus. And I don't care what your neighbor looks like. If your neighbor looks like Frankenstein himself, if you ain't loving him, you're in trouble. Let me tell you something. My neighbors down the street, I ain't said a word about them. Now, if they want to talk evil of me, if my neighbors want to talk evil of me, they go right ahead. But I haven't talked evil of them. They want to write nasty letters to me, honey, send them on. Because I didn't write them to you. You want to talk evil of me, honey? Let me tell you. Because later down the road, I'm telling you what's going to happen. God's going to bless me because many are the persecutions of the righteous. But God, ooh, you ready for this? But God, but I love that, but God. I love that, but God. But God shall deliver them out of them all. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind. You want to be a good godly example? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's not easy when he's treating you like a dog. Let me tell you something. It can be done. Let me tell you something. You can and you are able to do it if you choose to do it. Hello, Eric Martin. You can do it. You can serve God. And don't tell me it's so hard and I can't live up to it. You just didn't choose to live up to it. I'm telling you, living right ain't hard. Oh, it's not all, I'm not saying it's a bed of roses. It ain't a bed of roses when them bills are already stacked above your head and you can, and when you look up, all you see is bottom. I didn't say nothing about the top. What I'm saying, when you look up and all you see is bottom, it ain't easy, but I'm telling you what did Jesus say? Rejoice. Rejoice. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. And furthermore, he says, for as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same. Oh, thank you. We're going to preach, ain't we, John David? We're going to preach like that. Amen. That's right. We're going to preach about the truth. I don't care about it. I don't care what anyone thinks of me. I don't care what they think I look like. But, honey, I got news for y'all. Bless God. I got Jesus. And that's all I need. You know, they don't want Jesus. They don't want to love him like he said. They don't want to love him and get their heart into loving him all the way. All they want to do is just say, oh, I don't love Jesus at all. Well, I got news for you. There's only one God in heaven that I care about. His name is Jesus. He said, love the Lord with all your heart. It's not easy sometimes. All your strength and all your soul and all your mind, and then to love your neighbor as yourself, especially when he's an old drunken reprobate, doesn't care about anything but himself. Every time you turn around, here he is saying he's a Christian and he treats you more like a dog and a slave. It's not easy. Yeah, amen. It's not easy. I don't care what anyone thinks. It ain't easy. But I'm telling you what, it can be done. You say, oh, I want the blessings and benefits of the Lord. You know how you get them? You buddy up with Jesus. you buddy up. Amen? Love the Lord. Love, 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 love. That's all there is to it. Just love the Lord. Love the Lord Jesus. Just kiss up to Jesus. That's the best way to kiss up to. Amen, amen, amen.
Oh, I'm telling you, you've heard about the love of God, haven't you? Oh, God wants to answer that. Do you have it in your heart? Oh, do you have that love of God in your heart? Now, on the other side of that, I'm going to tell you something. You have to have a little faith, and faith, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have faith, and if you don't do the love of God, oh, I'm telling you, have you seen your brother or your sister? Are they in need? Oh, love God, and let that faith take you down the street to wherever they are. Oh, feed them. Do whatever you have to do for them. Yes, indeed, the love of God. You got to love him with all your soul and all your strength and all your might. Oh, yes, Jesus. The faith without works is dead. Have you despised the poor? Oh, I'm going to tell you, I know somebody with many needs in their life, but there's not been one Christian that went by that house and asked, what do you have need of? Nobody wants to supply that need. Where's the love of God that you claim that you have? You don't have the love of God unless that faith walks you down the street or wherever you have to go. Oh, does your brother need help? Or have you despised him? Oh, it says that God has chosen over in the book of James. It says that God has chosen the poor of this world. Oh, and you know what? They're rich in faith. They're rich in faith. They're rich in faith. Think about it. Think about it a minute. If you have need, if you have a need, where is your faith? It's not on somebody who's never come your way and asked if you needed some help, now is it? Your faith is in God. And you know what else it says? You know what else it says?
Come on, preach it.
Well, you know what else it says? Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? Which he hath promised to them that love him. Don't faith and love kind of go together? I've heard that over there in the Corinthians, you know, the first Corinthians and that first 13th. Yeah. Oh, and I wondered about that for a while. Well, you can have all of this and you can do all of that. But you didn't have the love of God. Maybe you're putting on a little bit of a show. You know what? You can't put on no show with God. There is no show and no games with him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There is no show and there is no games with him. I'll tell you what. Everything's going to be uncovered. Every little sin. You might think it's a little sin. Oh, but I'm telling you, God knows where you stand this night. He knows where you stand. Oh, hallelujah. He knows where you stand. Have that love of God. But have you despised the poor? Have you despised the poor? Go feed them. Go feed them. Church, are you right with God? All over Ashtabula, I'm not just talking to our little group. All over the town. As many Christians as there claim to be in this town. Should there be that many needy? Whoa, faith without works is dead. How could you say that you've got the love of God in you and not supply the needs of your brother or sister?
Thank you.
godly example. A good godly example is someone who's going to serve Jesus all the way he said to serve him. Ruthie, let's all stand. And Ruthie, you want to close us in prayer? And also remember to pray for the grub on this Christmas day. Amen?
Yeah, we got all kinds of fattening goodies out there. Dear precious Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for your presence tonight. And thank you for all you've done for us. We love you. And be with us as we go and eat too much, probably. But we thank you for the food that you've given us and all our fellowship together. And who knows, Wendy, it won't be too long. Your Jesus will be coming after us soon. We love you, Lord. Amen.
And now it is time for Tim to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
Midnight, who reaches up to take his father's hand? All my worries disappeared when I feel that touch so dear. Glad I'm surrounded by an angel. Glad I can reach up and feel a great big hand holding mine. That he would never forsake me. He'd be there all the time when I need strength for the valley or the mountain. Big hand holding mine, said he would never forsake me. He'd be there all the time when I need strength for the valley or the mountain to climb. I'm glad I can reach up and feel a great big hand holding.
I'm too tired to trust and too tired to pray, said one, as the overtaxed strength gave way. The one conscious thought by my mind possessed is, oh, could I just drop it all and rest? Would God forgive me, do you suppose, if I go right to sleep as a baby goes, without an asking if I may, without ever trying to trust and pray? Will God forgive you? Why think, dear heart, when language to you was an unknown art? Did a mother deny you needed rest or refuse to pillow your head on her breast? Did she let you want when you could not ask? Did she set her child an unequal task? Or did she cradle you in her arms and then guard your slumber against alarms? Ah, how quick was her mother love to see the unconscious yearnings of infancy. When you've grown too tired to trust and pray, when overwrought nature has quite given way, then just drop it all and give up to rest, as you used to do on a mother's breast. He knows all about it. The dear Lord knows. Just go to sleep as a baby goes. Without even asking if you may, God knows when his child is too tired to pray. He judges not solely by uttered prayer. He knows when the yearnings of love are there. He knows you do pray. He knows you do trust. And he knows, too, the limits of poor weak dust. Oh, the wonderful sympathy of Christ for his chosen ones in that midnight tryst, when he bade them sleep and take their rest, while on him the guilt of the whole world pressed. You've given your life up to him to keep, then don't be afraid to go right to sleep.
All right, Tim, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
Yes. Kenny, I believe I can give you the common message there between the two. God directed me even to this very same passage, which actually the first time around, I think you done the same thing, played the same song there. Back in mind, but I don't think you actually allowed me to relocate this verse at a particular time, but I did find it this time. So let me now read here, first of all, Isaiah chapter 44, verses 1 and 2, 43, verses 1 and 2, and then give you the answer. Yet now hear, O Israel, whom I have chosen, that the Lord may come be from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, Jacob, my servant, but thou get. But now, let's say it, be before thee, O Israel. No, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. And through the rivers, they shall not have, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt upon them. And think of the flame kindling upon thee, and think of how Jordan Peter's one epistle to not be taken back by the fiery trials of this life. But in a nutshell, basically, getting the theme, from the womb, from the moment of conception, gives up the ghost with him. Girl is with him through thick and thin and never forsakes him.
And are you sure you want that for your final answer?
14 out of 15, I'll take that as my final answer.
Well, you just can't keep your foot out of that carburetor, can you? You're right. God is with us in all our times, whether good or bad, and right there you have it. And you just got to reach up and grab that hand that's great bigger than yours and pray as you would when you trusted upon your mother's breast. That's it. So you got 14 out of 15.
All I'll say is, praise be to God. By the time we're done next time, I guess it'll be, let's see here, 14 out of 15 it is now. It'll be not 16 out of 17, but 17 out of 18.
Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
Christ will rule until that fire will blow you out.
Lesson is the Holy City. Okay, now I'm putting down here a simple rule of interpretation which says, take the Bible literally, where it is all possible if symbolic, figurative, or typical language is used, then look for the little truth it intends to convey to the listener. With this rule of literal interpretation in mind, let's proceed to engage ourselves in a simple study of the great Bible truth, the Holy City. There are three great days distinctly outlined in the overall plan of God. Number one is man's day, two, the Lord's day, and three, the day of Jehovah. Now, man's day extends from Adam to Armageddon, so obviously we're still in man's day. The Lord's Day extends from the coming of Jesus Christ at Armageddon until it has brought about a condition of a universal peace upon the earth, which is the Day of Jehovah, or eternity extends from the white throne judgment through all the endless eons of the ages. Eternity, yay, we could stay together with the Lord. Praise the Lord. During man's day, through the various probationary periods of time, God's been calling out for himself a peculiar people. Titus 2 and verse 14, 1 Peter 2, 9, all of these people who have lived in the different periods of time and under the various conditions eventually will make up the complete roster of inhabitants of the holy city if they met the requirements of their day. By this we mean that in each period of time there has been the lost and the saved. We see that during the 1,000-year period of time, Revelation 20, verses 1 through 7, known as the Day of the Lord, all phases of man's life will be brought under the dictatorial, autocratic control of Jesus Christ, with all peoples upon the earth at last being brought to the place where they will be willing to bow and accept Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Yay, I know I do. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:24, Revelation 17:14, of course, in your King James Version Bible. Now, the one exception will be at the very close of this thousand-year period of time, when Satan will be loosed out of the bottomless pit and allowed to again recruit an army. And the first army was at Armageddon, Revelation 19:19, and with the second army, he will again attack Jerusalem. However, the second army will be destroyed by a fire, which will come down from God out of heaven and devour them. Revelation 20, verses 7 through 9 in your KJV Bible. Now, in eternity, or during the day of Jehovah, a condition of absolute purity, peace, holiness, and moral perfection will prevail, and the earth and its contents will then be in the same condition they were before the fall of the first man, Adam. Okay, that's in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 27 and 28. A condition of godly righteousness will permeate the entire earth, and this is Zechariah 14 and verse 20. My special reason for including this lesson, there's been a great and undue amount of misunderstanding among both the clergy and the lay members of the church relative to the holy city, as mentioned in the following Bible verse. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21 and verse 2. All believers of all ages who will have been saved under the various periods of time, beginning with Adam and continuing through the 1,000-year reign of Christ, will make up the eventual population of the holy city. Abraham looked for a city, and it was the same holy city described in the last two chapters of the book of Revelation, which he anticipated. Now, there's another scripture for you. For he, Abraham, looked for a city, not a spiritual condition, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's Hebrews 11 and verse 10, of course, in your KJV Bible. This tremendous biblical fact is a further confirmed in the same book in this manner. But now they, referring to the patriarchs, desire a better country. They weren't satisfied with what they had. That is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he, God, hath prepared for them a city. That's Hebrews 11, verse 16. They're those people who teach we are now in the holy city. This is true to a certain degree along some spiritual lines, because all the believers of all ages who have fallen asleep are up in heaven at the present time underneath the altar before the throne of God. 2 Corinthians 5, 8. When Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, he descended into the lower regions of the earth and depopulated the old paradise in the bowels of the earth where all believers had been going at death who were looking forward to the first coming of Christ. At that time, Christ led captivity forth captive, taking those believers up on high and establishing a new paradise where they are at the present time. Next scripture. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up for above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Ephesians 4, verses 8 through 10. David, prospectively, prophesied the same thing a full 1,000 years in advance in the Psalms. Here's the scripture. Thou, Christ, hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, Psalm 68 and verse 18. When he was here on the earth, Jesus Christ made a first mention of the holy city when he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. John 14, verses 2 and 3. We are beginning to see that the different peoples who have lived in various periods of time, beginning with Adam, who were saved according to the requirements of their day, will eventually inhabit the holy city. The reason they will be there is that God is going to credit their obedience and faithfulness as righteousness as long as they observed and did that which God required of them in their day. This is confirmed in the book of Galatians. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Galatians 3:6, KJV. Down through the years, there has been much imaginative speculation as to when the Holy City will actually appear and become a tangible reality. We are very plainly told in Scripture that the Holy City will become such, not on this present earth, but on the new, freshly remade earth at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Now here's your Scripture. But the day of the Lord, should be translated Jehovah, will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3:10. The verse of Scripture could not be fulfilled at the beginning of the day of the Lord, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, because in God's overall plan, there must yet be the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. If you will look at the 12th verse of 2 Peter 3, you will see that the time element is correctly interpreted day of God or Jehovah, meaning that 2 Peter 3:10 should also say, but the day of Jehovah, and so forth. That's why the Scriptures plainly teach that after every knee has bowed and every tongue has confessed Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings during the Lord's Day, after Satan has been released from the bottomless prison for a little season, when he will recruit another army to attack the beloved city, Jerusalem, fire will come down from God and out of heaven and devour him and his army. That's Revelation 20, verses 7 through 9. And while we, the saved of all ages, are at the white throne judgment, Revelation 20, 11 through 15, as witnesses against the ungodly, this present earth and the three heavens are going to be burned up by fire. 2 Peter 3, 10 through 12. Now, during the cleansing by fire, the elements will naturally become a gas. But God, who has all power, will be able to take that gas and recreate a freshly remade earth and freshly remade heavens. This is borne out in the last book of the Bible in this manner. And I saw a new remade heaven and a new remade earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, destroyed by fire, Revelation 21, 1. The prophet Isaiah was able to look down through the annals of time and be supernaturally foresaw the destruction of this present earth and the heavens, because we find him prophesying. For behold, I, God, create new heavens and a new earth, Isaiah 65, 17. In other words, this present earth as we know it today, which is composed of solids, earth, liquids, water, oil, and so forth, and gases, together with the heavens, atmosphere, and planets, which has been so very forcefully marred by the powerful force, satanic and Adamic sin, is to be ultimately cleansed by the devastating fire described in 2 Peter 3, after which there is no apparent a newly remade earth and a newly remade heavens. Okay, that's cool. It's all going to get new. Okay, after the white throne judgment is completed, during which time every unbeliever of every age will have had an impartial and complete trial, which trial will have appeared the righteous of all ages as witnesses against the ungodly, the earth and the heavens, as we know it to them today, will have been destroyed by an all-consuming fire. Then God will take the gases from his original creation, heavens and earth, and from that gases, he will form a new earth in practically the same manner as when he picked up a handful of clay and made Adam. When he did that, he was not making Adam out of something new, but out of original earth, which had been here before Adam. That's why we hear God saying in the book of Jeremiah, "For thus hath the Lord said, yet will I not make a full end." Jeremiah 4 and verse 27. May I say there's no way of determining the age of this earth. Of course, it's approximately 6,000 years back to Adam, and that's not the age of the earth. But why God picked up a handful of dirt and made Adam out of the original dust of the earth, he was not going to allow the earth and its inhabitants to come to an end at that particular point in world history. Scripture, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 in KJV Bible. Now, it's a scripture. The Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2 and verse 7. We find God doing the very same thing again at the end of the second day of time, known as the day of the Lord, when he takes the gases which are to the result of the destruction of the original earth and heavens by fire and makes a new earth and new heavens. Therefore, when we observe the holy city coming down from heaven at the end of the great period of time, known as the day of the Lord, which will be at the conclusion of the great white throne judgment of God up in heaven, we see the holy city coming down to rest upon the freshly remade earth. The holy city will be permanently established on the new earth because the Bible tells us, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. Please note especially the last phrase, which you had just read, for the former things are passed away. In other words, the earth, seas, atmosphere, moon, and stars, as we know them today, together with physical mankind in its pursuit of life, which embodies everything connected with the human being, were destroyed by the great fire mentioned in 2 Peter 3:10, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So you can see the holy city, as the scripture calls our future eternal abode, is going to be a place where the former things are passed away, because the very next verse tells us, and he sat upon the throne in the midst of the holy city, said, behold, I will make all things new. Revelation 21:5. Once we arrive at the period of time when the holy city will be established on the new earth, we will have arrived at the ultimate goal for which God has called us. In other words, we are eventually going to live on the new earth in the holy city forever and ever, without any traces of sin, without any experiences of crying because of pain or loneliness. In the holy city and the new earth, there will never be any more death. We will live in the holy city on the new earth in a state of immortal bliss and happiness, just as though we had always been there in the same rapturous condition in which Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden before they were tempted by the serpent, Satan. Now here's the scripture below. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, but it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall know when he, Jesus Christ, shall appear, we shall be like him. 1 John 3:2. Everybody who's a Christian is not to be changed to look like Christ when he comes in the clouds to rapture the saints. But Christ is to have another change himself, and he is to receive the glory he had with the Father before he ever came to this earth in human form. That change is to be given to him and to us as all of us come back to live on the new earth in the holy city. Scripture, and now, O Father, glorify thy me and thine own self with the glory which I, Christ, had with thee before the world was. John 17:5. All believers of all ages will undergo a final change in order to become inhabitants of the holy city. This is further borne in the doctrine of heirship. Please try to grasp this great truth. If you are a truly born-again child of God, you have become a joint heir with Christ. Scripture, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so, be that we suffer with him, that we, Christ and the believer, may be also glorified together. Romans 8:16-17. All the saved of all ages, together with Jesus Christ, because of joint heirship, will come back to the new earth and live in the holy city with our memories having been blanked. And we live in the holy city without any memory of the past. We will never remember having lived in this present world of sin after the last change has taken place. That's why the Bible tells us, for the former things are passed away, Revelation 21:4, behold, I make all things new, Revelation 21:5. Isaiah foresaw this as he was able to look down through some 3,600 years of prospective world history, and we hear him say, and the former things shall not be remembered nor come into mind. That's Isaiah 65:17. The inhabitants of the holy city will live in the city eternally in a state of complete righteousness and will do so without any memory of the past. individual will never remember having been a mother, father, son, or daughter. All will be changed, and we will remain in that state of holiness forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Therefore, the real purpose for proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ today is not to make people Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, members of the Assembly of God, or any of the other 200 different denominations, but to make them citizens by the new birth of the holy city. That's what the Bible says. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, 1 Peter 2:5. That's what's going on at the present time. God is building the holy city, which will eventually be inhabited by the completed body of the peculiar people of God when it takes its final position on the new earth. In concluding, let me caution you. In the holy city, there will not appear the fearful and unbelieving and abominable murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, for these shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Revelation 21:8. In case someone might think that this verse doesn't actually mean what it says, practically the same thing is repeated in verse 27 of the same chapter. And there shall in no wise enter into it, the holy city, anything that defileth neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's Revelation 21:27. So the big question today, my dear listener, is not whether you are a Baptist, Methodist, or a member of any of the other denominations. I mean, I say denominations are absolutely necessary for some people. But the big question is, has your name been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, enabling you to become a citizen, the holy city, which will eventually rest on the new earth and remain there throughout the eons of God's eternity during the day of Jehovah? That's why the Bible says, Scripture, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's God's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. Psalm 115 and verse 16. I would suggest that you read the entire 21st and 22nd chapters of the book of Revelation at your earliest opportunity using the rule of interpretation given at the beginning of the lesson. If you do this prayerfully, you will see that the holy city is to be a literal city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Revelation 21:2 in the King James Version Bible. The next lesson will be the Blessed Hope.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Welcome to the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever, that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, clutter, etc. around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces, wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check the cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, that a space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater. From the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans. Do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults, should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead.
Hello, my name is Ian of Ashville, Ohio. I run a lawn care business, Nash Lawn Care. I primarily cut grass, trim, and shovel snow. I also help those with disabilities, offering to cut for free. If you want to contact me, you can at 1-440-754-2061. And the number again is 440-754-2061. Please remember, I only do lawns in Ashtabula, Ohio. Thank you, and have a great day.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
And finally, Ruth, who do we have with us on the old gospel bus as we pull into the station?
God, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, you and me.
All right. Well, Ruth, what did you think of the messages?
Wonderful. I thought wonderful.
Yeah. Kind of brings you back some old memories, doesn't it?
Yeah. We had lots of fun together.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you want to give us a closing prayer, we will be out of here. And I want to remind everybody of our shows tomorrow at, obviously, 9 p.m. is the truth of the matter on this station, Station 1. You call 424-243-9617, 9 p.m. Eastern. And then on Friday, upcoming this Friday, is at 6 p.m., My Daddy's Records and or My Daddy's Remote, depending on where 6 takes us. That's at 6 p.m. Eastern. You call 515-605-9340, 515-605-9340 for Station 2 of the Six Eyes Radio Network for My Daddy's Records. And then on this station, Station 1, at 8:30 p.m. is AJ and the squad. 8:30 p.m. Eastern, right here at this station, 424-243-9617 for Station 1. All right, Ruthie, give us a closing prayer, and we'll say God bless and good evening.
Well, Lord, we thank you for the messages and everything. Music and everything tonight was wonderful, enjoyable. I hope everybody enjoyed it. And be with Emily as she's not feeling well. And be with any other prayer requests that I forgot. And we just want to praise your name and love you so much. We want to serve you forever. Amen.
Amen. So God bless everybody. We'll catch you tomorrow.